God.
Okay, so basically, sometimes we can get obsessed with finding the one, but there are a few things we must first find, and I believe there are three of them. There are a few things I believe you must first find before you find the one. And every time we do this, I like to always still encourage you. A great deal of your happiness will still be tied to who you spend the rest of your life with. A great deal of your happiness will come from it. So it's not a decision you should take lightly. A great deal of your happiness will come from who you will marry. Praise God. So please don't get weary of learning and preparing. It's very important. Don't get weary of learning and preparing. I cannot tell you the amount of people that are unhappy in their marriages. And that is not what God wants for you. And it takes preparation, you know, to get the best out of marriage. So let's go quickly. Number one, what is the first thing that you need to find? The first thing you must find before you find the one is to find God. That's the first thing you need to find. You need to find God. When I mean find God, first of all, if you don't yet have a personal relationship with Him, then you need to do that. All right? Then if you have already become born again or you have gotten a personal relationship with Him, you still need to understand who He is. You need to understand Him. If you don't find God, there's no use finding the one. Because it is your relationship with God that actually equips you to find the one. That is the first thing you need to find. You need to find God. There are many reasons why. The first reason why is because finding God helps you actually experience love. Love is one of the most misunderstood emotions ever. Not even an emotion. One of the most misunderstood things ever. Everybody sings about it. Everybody does movies about it. The best-selling movies are love-based. Hallelujah. Because love is just important. It just shows how important love is. The best songs are love-based. Hallelujah. It just shows that everybody is interested in love. Everybody needs love. We were created to receive and to give love. We were created to receive and give love. That is why even when they are doing some kind of movies like King Kong, they will still put love inside. Have you noticed? King Kong will still fall in love with a human being. Because love sells. You cannot run from love. Love sells. There is nothing as universal as love. If they do Fast and Furious that is about cars, some people don't like cars. If they do some other movie that is about war, some people don't like violence. If they do some movies that are about comedy, some people don't like to laugh. Those guys are comedians. You know, there's people that they come from their house to prove you wrong. That you can never make me laugh. No matter what you say, they look like they are prepared for you. If you're a comedian. No matter what you do, they are not going to laugh. Hallelujah. But love usually cuts across every kind of person and every kind of people. Love always cuts across. So we were created to receive and to give love. And guess what? One of the introductions of God in the Bible says God is love. If you have not found God, then you really do not know what love is. If you have not found God, it means you have not experienced love. And if you have not experienced love, you are incapable of giving love. Somebody getting what I'm saying? This is important, guys. This is very important. This is very important. If you have never gotten a real experience of God's love, of God, that means you have never experienced love. If you have never had a real experience of God, you've not found God. You are not you don't have a personal relationship with God. It means you have never really experienced love. And if you have never experienced love, it means you are incapable of giving love because you cannot give what you don't have. Are you here, somebody? This is important, guys. Some of you might have experienced what I'm saying now. Somebody that claimed they were in love with you and something happened. Maybe the relationship could not continue and this same person became your greatest hater or became your enemy. Have you seen that before? You know, they were professing love when everything was fine. You see, that is not love. These people have not really experienced love. That is not love. Hallelujah. That is not love. All this love that is based on the person's behavior, that is based on how good the person is. All this love that suddenly moves from intense love to intense hate. It's not love. If you have not found God and you have never experienced what real love is, and it's only in God you find it, guys. It's only God that can show you what real love is. Until you experience that, then you can't even give it because you've never experienced it. God is love. Hallelujah. He said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For what? God is love. Experiencing that God's love to you helps you become used to love. Helps you become adapted to real love. And by the time you become adapted to real love, anytime you are given substandard love, you would know. Because people always try to say, how do I know he really loves me? Very simple. Have you experienced the love of God? If you have experienced the love of God, you'll be able to differentiate any fake love that comes. Somebody gets what I'm saying? They asked some people that were into arresting people that were into bank fraud. And they said, how do you train the people that are supposed to help you track now and bank fraud? They said, one of the things we do is that we allow them know the original notes very well. That once you are used to the original notes, whenever you are given a fake one, it doesn't even take you long to be able to identify a fake one. Because you know where everything is on the original one. You know how it feels. You know how it smells. You know how it looks. By the time they give you a fake one, you can identify it. Somebody get what I'm saying? So finding God and experiencing the real God kind of love, it will make it very easy. You will not even need to fast and pray to know fake love. Immediately you see fake love, you will know. Immediately you see a substandard love, you will know. I'm tired of watching those videos or seeing those things where somebody is breaking somebody's TV, somebody's breaking somebody's windscreen in the name of love. All those things are not love. All those moving from intense passion or intense affection to intense hatred. It's not really love. You need to experience God's love. It helps your taste for love. You begin to know that you are not meant for anything less than that. You begin to understand what real love and commitment is about. It helps your taste. It helps your standard for what love is. You need to find God. I've seen people that fight each other, that beat each other. I've seen people that argue all the time, but they say we're in love. No. You will understand. When you start to experience the God kind of love, you understand love, any other love that is not for you. You know that this is not for me. Hallelujah. Finding God is the first thing you must find before you even find the one. Finding God is very important before you can find the one. It helps your standards. It helps your standards. It helps you be able to know some things that don't make sense. Hallelujah. There are some people that say things like, I'm dating someone, he said he must sleep with me, but if I don't want him to sleep with me, he'll be sleeping with other people, even though we're still in a relationship. If you have experienced God's love, this, you don't have to think twice about people that talk like that. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? There are too many things you will encounter. If you have experienced love, the care and the love that God gives, it will be very easy to know love that is not real. Hallelujah. If you have not experienced God's love, you will not even know your worth. God's love gives us value. Hallelujah. And you know the interesting thing about relationships? And about marriage, you are the one that will fix your own value. People are free to offer you anything. Hallelujah. People are free to offer you anything. You are the one free to either accept or not accept. Guys, spend time to know God and to experience His love. See, the reason why some people are obsessed with getting married is that they think they say they are lonely, they are empty. So, what of the love of God? The love of God is available 24/7. God is the only person that says, call unto me and I will answer you. Your boo is always busy. Haven't you noticed? He can't answer you at all times. He can't pick your phone and your call at all times. But God is ready to talk to you at all times. You need to experience what real love is. You need to experience the love that has forgiveness with it. You need to experience the love that loves even when you are not perfect. You need to understand that love. That love helps you appreciate the human kind of love. When you have experienced the God's kind of love, it sets your standards for you. There are just some things you can't accept. You can't be begging to be loved if you have experienced God's love. Are you here, somebody? Oh, there are too many people begging to be loved. You are begging someone to love you. You are begging someone to appreciate you. When you are still doing things like that, it shows you have not grasped the God kind of love. You have never experienced it. You can't beg someone to like you. I need people to understand, a real relationship and a real marriage, it always has to be mutual. These two people must value each other. You cannot be in a relationship where you are the only one trying to push it. Where you are the only one that values the other person and you are struggling to be valued. You are struggling to be appreciated. Then something is wrong. It's because you have not really tasted that God kind of love. Like I told you, one of the most common questions that I always have to answer, and I say it every time, is people that come to me and say, Pastor, there's this girl I like so much. I love her so much. I send her money. I send her credit. She's my all in all. I would die if I don't marry her. I love her so much. I say, so what's the problem? She said, but she doesn't like me. She said, what should I do? What should you do? Like how? What should you do? You see, you should not even be in that place where you are liking someone and the person doesn't like you and you are begging and cajoling for them to like you. Then you've not experienced God's love. If you have experienced God's love, you will value yourself so much. You will never beg to be loved. See, let me explain to you. Let me explain to you. God's love is extravagant. Do you understand this, guys? God's love is, God loves you more than you can even comprehend. Do you understand? Where your comprehension ends, God's love is still continuing. He loves you so much. Now, when you have tasted that love, let me give you the example. If you are here and your mother, let's assume that your mother cooks. Your mother cooks amala. Let's assume that. Your mother has a joint that they sell amala. And you've worked with her, you've grown with her, you have worked in that place. You know, and you know, if you have that kind of mother and you work in that place, you will be breathing amala. As in, when you wake up, amala is breakfast, amala is snack, din lunch, amala. You know, you have eaten amala in all ramifications. If you go somewhere and they are sharing amala, what are the chances that you'll be begging for that amala? That's how it is when you, as a believer, you are begging someone to like you. It shows you have not experience the extravagant love of your father. That's why you are begging for a substandard, a way less or lesser kind of love from a man or a woman. Hallelujah. Find God. There's something fulfilling about the God kind of love. It fulfills you. It reduces your desperation to marry. Many people are under pressure to marry because they are not in a relationship with God. They feel somebody needs to come to complete them. So there is this desperation. And ladies, I understand you guys, you face it more than guys, kind of. So there's this desperation. There's this pressure. Don't get obsessed with getting married. Don't get obsessed with it. Marriage is a beautiful thing, but see, allow it to flow. Don't get obsessed. Once you get obsessed with, I have to marry, I need to marry, the chances are high you'll make the wrong decision. Because now you are looking for the marriage to complete you. The Bible says we are complete in Him. You must first be complete in God. By receiving that God's love, knowing that nothing is lacking, nothing is missing, there's nothing wrong with you. Hallelujah. Find God. That's the first thing we need to find. Because until you experience that love, you are incapable of giving that love. Very important. Until you experience the God kind of love, you are also incapable of giving that love. And that is what the real love is. Any other thing people call love is just something that looks like love, but it's not love. Hallelujah. Number two, second thing you need to find. You need to find yourself. You need to find yourself. If you are going to find the special one, please find yourself. Who are you? There's so much about your life that you have not explored. Who are you? Find yourself. Find yourself. No one can value you more than you value yourself. And it's until you explore yourself before you can fix a good value for yourself. And that will determine how people too will value you. Hallelujah. Oh. Let me tell you, neighbor, find yourself. Oh, man. Very important. If you keep feeling inadequate, if you keep feeling incomplete, if you keep feeling disadvantaged, if you keep feeling that something is missing from you, it doesn't matter what you have or do not have. Check your real value. Find yourself. Some of you have gifts and abilities you have not found. There's a purpose to your life. There's a passion that God has given you. Find yourself. It's in finding yourself that you value yourself. I always say that I met different ladies before I met my wife. Some of them didn't like me. They didn't like me. It didn't reduce anything. It didn't make me feel less of myself. See, when you have found yourself and you have valued yourself, you see, when you pass by a Rolls Royce shop and you don't buy, they don't feel bad. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You know, many human beings, they feel because somebody didn't take them, they see it as rejection. No, don't see it like that. Just because you displayed your goods and somebody didn't price, don't let it give you low self-esteem. Don't let it make you feel something is wrong with you. No, no, no. Sometimes some people are the ones that don't have a good sense of value. They are the ones that can't recognize something that has value. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with you. There is a confidence that comes on you when you have valued yourself. Like I said, when I met some of the ladies, some of them didn't like me. It didn't reduce me. I was too sure of who I was. I had not gotten to where I was going, but I knew where I was going. And I knew it was a matter of time. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I've shared this story many times. I went for a course somewhere. You know, I'll talk about some of these things in the third point. I went to a course somewhere, and there was this fine girl. You know, it was a Christian course, a leadership course. It was a Christian thing. So, of course, I was single, so I was still, as I was seeking the Lord, I was opening my eyes. Oh, yes, you can't become church. I'm view. Your church, before they close, the grace, you are out at the road. Hang around. Let people see you. Don't rush. They close, just rush. Greet people. If nobody greets you, sit down and wait. Somebody will pass. Some people, their blood is always too hot. You want to run, run. What are you running to? You always be with your girlfriends and you're a girl. Let them move. Tell them to move. Sit down on that place. Because if three of us sit down together, the guy that wants to come and talk to us, we're afraid. Girls don't know that guys don't have liver like that. Three fine girls sit together. Ah, I'm not good. Where will I start from? Some people are gifted. Some of us are not gifted. So don't be packing yourself in groups like that. 10 girls together. How are we going to break all of you to talk to the one we want to talk to? You are giving us a problem. So I was, we entered for that leadership course. It was a 3-week course or so. But the first week, I was shining my eyes. So I said to one very fine girl. She used to sit, I remember her name. See now. Yes. I'm very strategic in my life. It's true. Okay. So as I entered, I sighted where she was sitting, the other side of the hall. And that's where she always sits every day. I mean, I always sit on the opposite side. But I was interested in her. So by towards the end of the week, I changed where I was sitting. And I began to sit right behind her row because she has a particular seat she sits on. So I had to come early for one funny guy people go and sit there. I had intention. So I sat right behind the seat. And throughout the lecture, I didn't copy note intentionally because I want to borrow her note.